This is Jim Inkster, and welcome to Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number is 877-217-5757. You can email us, talk@talklouisiana.org. November 22, 2019, 56 years ago today, the President of the United States, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was assassinated in Dealey Plaza, Dallas, Texas. We'll be talking about that a bit later this hour with historian Joseph McBride, but we start with Stephen Handwerk. Now, 8 years as the executive director of the Louisiana Democratic Party, the longest serving executive director of a Democratic state, in a state, from the Democratic perspective, in the country. Stephen Handwerk, of course, is based in Lafayette, which is largely a Republican stronghold. And Saturday, John Bel Edwards was able to put together a combination, a coalition that enabled him to win, winning largely in big cities like Baton Rouge and New Orleans and in Metairie and in Shreveport. And he is back for another 4 years. He will leave office in January of 2024, will John Bel Edwards, based on what happened Saturday. He'll have a much more Republican legislature to work with, and it'll be a case in which John Bel Edwards will have to, of course, work with people who largely were against him in this campaign. And Stephen Handwerk, how do you see the election last Saturday? Certainly a big victory. Congratulations to you. But now the work begins.
Yeah, that is right, Jim. I'm getting a lot of your coming through on my line.
Okay, well, he's getting some feedback here. Matt, can you make sure that the feedback goes away for Stephen Handwerk so we can talk with him and have a conversation in which he can actually hear what I'm saying? 877-217-5757, in case you didn't notice, and I think almost all of our listeners did, but to recap what happened Saturday, John Bel Edwards received 774,000 votes, a bit more than that. Eddie Risponi, 734,000, about a 40,000 vote margin. And it was the biggest turnout for a victory for governor in 20 years. The last time a victorious candidate received more votes than did John Bel Edwards, it was Mike Foster in 1999 when he defeated Bill Jefferson in a primary along with Phil Price and Tom Green and got just over 800,000 votes. Is this a bit better, Stephen? Stephen Handwerk, can you hear me? Okay, let's see if we can get Stephen back and see what's going on here. But obviously we're having some technical issues that we will resolve. But Louisiana is a state, as we know, that is largely a red state, and it is a state in which it was not expected for a Democrat to win the governor's election. It was the case in 2015. In that race, David Vitter was the runoff candidate for the Republicans, and that enabled John Bel Edwards to win with 56% of the votes. If not for David Vitter, probably Jay Darden or Scott Angel would have been governor of Louisiana. But John Bel Edwards drew a wounded warrior in David Vitter, and he went marching along into his first term. He did inherit a $2 billion deficit that was resolved, and he also went forward and sought re-election and did not get John Kennedy or Steve Scalise running against him. And this enabled John Bel Edwards to draw Eddie Risponi and Ralph Abraham. And in the primary, the governor, many thought, would win before a runoff. It did not happen. He received 46.6% of the votes. And coming in second with 27%, was Eddie Risponi to 24 for Ralph Abraham. The President of the United States inserted himself in the race and sought mightily to unseat John Bel Edwards, calling him a flaming liberal, among other things, and it did not work. The governor ended up surviving the onslaught from the National Republican Party, and also the governor also survived many of the statewide elected officials who are from the Republican vantage point, who were against him and were almost all on stage as the president was saying things about the governor that were untrue, such that he was pro-choice and anti-gun. And as we know, the governor was very conservative and in sync with the president and most Republicans on those issues. But on other issues, obviously, he is a true blue Democrat. And Stephen Handwerk, I'm going to give you another shot here. I believe that the governor of Louisiana has a mandate of sorts, but how substantial is that mandate as we look at him taking office on the 13th of January and moving forward in his second term?
Look, I think it was, and Jim, thank you for having me on. I think that it was a substantial mandate. This was a extremely hard-fought and won race where you just pointed out some very key factors. When the president overplayed his hand and said things about John Bell that just weren't true, that caught the attention of a lot of voters, and that allowed them to then in their mind say, wait a second, you know, this isn't true. Is anything else they're saying true? Are any of their ads playing that are actually true? And we, of course, know that a lot of the truth in politics ads ended up having to get pulled down because they weren't anything to do with the truth. So, look, this governor ran. He won because he does pull people together. And I have no doubt that this governor will be able to pull people together to be able to get significant things done for this state, as he did for the past 4 years. And I'm really excited to have him leading this charge in order to get it done.
Now, as mentioned, Stephen, he has a more conservative legislature. And John Alario, who was a big part of the Senate as the Senate president and actually helped the governor in getting his initiatives through the upper chamber, he's gone. So how does it look as far as the governor working with a new-look legislature?
Yeah, look, I think that there's certainly going to be some challenges in front of him. And while we don't do a lot in the actual legislative back and forth, I know that the governor keeps reaching his hand out. You know, I am a blind partisan. That's kind of my job. And one of the things that impresses me about our governor is he is always reaching his hand across the aisle to try and find someone to grab onto, to be able to find someone that we can find some compromise, to be able to build bridges to move forward. I have no doubt that this is going to be a little bit more complicated with the current makeup. But I am happy. I'm extremely happy that we were able to prevent a supermajority in the House so that the governor still does, you know, have that sort of leverage to be able to move forward on. And so, you know what, I'm cautiously optimistic, but we're going to need to have people who want to get things done and not just go to Baton Rouge to be able to create more bumper stickers. We've had enough of the bumper stickers. Now that the campaigns are over, it's time to be able to move Louisiana forward.
877-217-5757 is your number. Stephen Handwerk with us a bit longer, the executive director for the last 8 years of the Louisiana Democratic Party. Today in The Advocate, Lanny Keller's column reads, Louisiana's last Democratic governor, ? Now, Governor John Bel Edwards is the only Democrat elected in statewide office in Louisiana right now, Stephen. Is he an aberration, or do you have hope that perhaps other Democrats will have traction and that perhaps a Democrat will actually have a chance of succeeding Governor Edwards in 2024?
You know, that has been a consistent question that we've gotten, especially over the first 4 years of the governor's term. We've got that question a lot. You know, is this a fluke? Was this just because of David Vitter? I think that we proved on Saturday, I think this governor proved on Saturday, that it's not just a fluke, that he was able to do it in an environment right now that I don't ever recall being this hyperpartisan, certainly not in my lifetime. And this governor was able to pull out a win. What does this say for the future? Certainly the data from Saturday is providing us a great bit of information as to where things are moving in our state. One of the things that we can tell you, and I think that this is pretty obvious of anyone watching the maps that are being published by J. Miles Coleman and all of the others that are putting out great stuff, what we're seeing is that the rural areas are getting much more red, a much deeper red, but the suburbs are becoming a lot more purple, if not blue, in fact. So there are possibilities. I mean, for the governor to have won Jefferson Parish like he did, I think that that's sending a message forward. It's certainly telling me and laying me a roadmap as to where we need to focus in on our efforts.
You are correct. The governor won by 18,000 votes in Jefferson Parish. That was his third biggest margin of victory. 51,000 ahead in Baton Rouge and almost 102,000 ahead in New Orleans. So putting New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Jefferson, and Caddo together, the governor won by 184,000 more votes than his opponent. But that also means that when you look at the other 60 parishes, Stephen Handwerk, Eddie Rasponi won by about what? If the governor won by 184,000 in those four and he won by 40 overall, Eddie Rasponi won the other 64 parishes by about 144,000 votes. We're going to talk more with Stephen Handwerk about this when we return. 877-217-5757. Back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. A bit more time with Stephen Handwerk, the Executive Director for the Louisiana Democratic Party. Stephen Handwerk is, of course, beaming over John Bel Edwards' reelection. And as we went to the break, we were talking about how well the governor did in the big cities and how well Eddie Rasponi did in the rural areas. And the irony, of course, is that John Bel Edwards is from a meet. Eddie Rasponi is from Baton Rouge. How do you explain this phenomenon, and is there any turning back now? Is this just going to be the way it is, Stephen?
Well, certainly, I think that I want to point a couple of things out. You know, a lot of folks probably don't care about the inner operations of the party, but the night the results were coming in, we were in our party operations center all watching the results nervously as everybody else in the state was. And one of the things that our data director kept pointing out to us is that John Bell was exceeding, doing better in almost every single parish than what our goals were. That was significant for us to be able to see that the governor was outperforming what we did in October. Because obviously, as you know, math can tell you, we had to be able to do that. And so while I don't think all is lost in the more rural areas of the state for us, I think that all politics is local, and I think that we learned a lot of good things. But I do think that, you know, it has become more difficult for us in rural areas, and there are certainly some opportunities for us in the larger areas. The one thing that I do want to point out, though, and I think that this is significant, the best thing and probably the biggest thank you that I have right now for folks, in addition to our community partners who did such a great job, my biggest thank you goes to Donald J. Trump, because we needed something to energize our base, to make sure people were paying attention, and my goodness, did he do that for us. We were able to connect with our voters in a way that really helped us to the end. And while we certainly agree that there was a noticeable bump that the Republican side had for his attendees, I think, especially in our cities, we saw a much larger bump that we got on our side. So I think that that was significant as well, Jim.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. David in Atlanta, you're on the air with Stephen Handwerk.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Handwerk, when President Trump said at a rally in Bossier City that Mr. Rasponi would cut insurance rates in half, did you fall for that lie? Or maybe Mr. Edwards won because the people of Louisiana is not as stupid as the president thought, or is the president an idiot and a liar?
A lot to work with there.
Well, I certainly am not. I will certainly agree that folks didn't fall for that, because at the same time the president was saying those remarks in Bossier City, we were also getting reports that were being published all over the state about car insurers that were lowering their rates. Insurance companies are actually lowering the rates. So we're going in the right direction, certainly with this governor. And I don't believe people, I really don't believe that people fell for it. But it is really sad, and I think this goes to a larger narrative here, is that when your candidate or your candidate supporters are blatantly lying about things that are demonstrably, provably wrong, I think that goes to your credibility of your campaign. So I think that this certainly should send a message to folks that you've got to be more honest in your campaigning or else it's going to blow back on you. Because all of these allegations that they made against our governor, they just weren't true. And people knew that.
Who's on the bench? Who's out there who can run in 4 years to succeed John Bel Edwards from the Democratic Party?
Well, look, I think that we certainly saw some amazing people that really stepped up and stepped out to help us in this race. We cannot for 1 minute not recognize what an amazing role Mayor Cantrell played in this. The amount of work that she was able to put in, the amount of individuals that came and got her back when she called people to action was outstanding. So I certainly think that she is an amazing rising star for us. Look, I think we've got some amazing other folks that are just really, I mean, in the long scheme of things, have just entered their political careers. You know, Representative Ted James right there in Baton Rouge, certainly a leader that people are listening to and paying attention to and is exciting our base. I think we have a lot of different examples throughout the state, but certainly one of the main focuses that our party has to engage in is building a bigger and deeper bench and also figuring out how we can resource those individuals so that they can be successful.
Well, the issue of race is always present in national politics and certainly in Louisiana, and I think in the House there are like four white Democrats remaining, and in the Senate, two white Democrats. It would seem that moving forward, just as the people you mentioned, Stephen Handwerk, that the Democratic Party may very well be featuring African Americans, most likely as the people running for high office in our state. Can an African American win a statewide office in Louisiana?
Absolutely. Look, I think the data is going to show that. When we look at the amazing woman who ran for Secretary of State, she did this largely on a shoestring budget. She was able to tour the state and look at her results that she was able to pull in. I think that that shows us that our candidates can compete, and I'm hoping that we can finally turn a page in Louisiana and stop having to look at this sort of racial divide. We have to be able to move folks forward. And we've got some amazing candidates that I think are going to be able to help us do that as a state and hopefully finally close that chapter.
Stephen Handwerk, let's talk again soon. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And congratulations on 8 years as the executive director of the Louisiana Democratic Party. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that.